This is Bulldog Live on the Pulse. To get in touch about the news of the day, call 866-823-1077. Now, here's Brian Tilton and Bulldog Live.
If I wanted America to fail, to follow, not lead, to suffer, not prosper, to despair, not dream, I'd start with energy. I'd cut off America's supply of cheap, abundant energy. I couldn't take it by force. So I'd make Americans feel guilty about using the energy that heats their homes, fuels their cars, runs their businesses, and powers their economy. I'd make cheap energy expensive, so that expensive energy would seem cheap. I would empower unelected bureaucrats to all but outlaw America's most abundant sources of energy. After banning its use in America, I'd make it illegal for American companies to ship it overseas. If I wanted America to fail, I'd use their schools to teach one generation of Americans that their factories and their cars will cause a new ice age. And I'd muster a straight face so I could teach the next generation that they're causing global warming. When it's cold out, I'd call it climate change instead. I'd imply that America's cities and factories could run on wind power and wishes. I'd teach children how to ignore the hypocrisy of condemning logging, mining, and farming while having roofs over their heads, heat in their homes, and food on their tables. I would never teach children that the free market is the only force in human history to uplift the poor, establish the middle class, and create lasting prosperity. Instead, I'd demonize prosperity itself so that they will not miss what they will never have. If I wanted America to fail, I would create countless new regulations and seldom cancel old ones that would be so complicated that only bureaucrats, lawyers, and lobbyists could understand them. That way, small businesses with big ideas wouldn't stand a chance. And I would never have to worry about another Thomas Edison, Henry Ford, or Steve Jobs. I would ridicule as flat earthers those who urge them to lower energy costs by increasing supply. And when the evangelists of common sense try to remind people about the laws of supply and demand, I'd enlist a sympathetic media to drown them out. If I wanted America to fail, I would empower unaccountable bureaucracy seated in a distant capital to bully Americans out of their dreams and their property rights. I'd send federal agents to raid guitar factories for using the wrong kind of wood. I'd force homeowners to tear down their own homes built on their own land. I'd make it almost impossible for farmers to farm, miners to mine, loggers to log, and builders to build. Because I don't believe in free markets, I'd invent false ones. I'd devise fictitious products like carbon credits and trade them in imaginary markets. I'd convince people that this would create jobs and be good for the economy. If I wanted America to fail, for every concern I'd invent a crisis, and for every crisis I'd invent the cause, like shutting down entire industries and killing tens of thousands of jobs in the name of saving spotted owls. And when everyone learned the stunning irony that the owls were victims of their larger cousins and not people, it would already be decades too late. If I wanted America to fail, I'd make it easier to stop commerce than to start it, easier to kill jobs than create them, more fashionable to resent success than to seek it. When industries seek to create jobs, I'd file lawsuits to stop them, and then I'd make taxpayers pay for my lawyers. If I wanted America to fail, I would transform the environmental agenda from a document of conservation to an economic suicide pact. I would concede entire industries to our economic rivals by imposing regulations that cost trillions. I would celebrate those who preach environmental austerity in public while indulging a lavish lifestyle in private. I'd convince Americans that Europe has it right and that America has it wrong. If I wanted America to fail, I would prey on the goodness and the decency of ordinary Americans. I would only need to convince them that all of this is for the greater good. If I wanted America to fail, I suppose I wouldn't change a thing.
That's from freemarketamerica.org, and we were talking a little bit about that yesterday when we talked with Rick Manning from Americans for Limited Government, and I referenced that audio right there that we just shared for you, and this is not the first time we've played it here on Bulldog Live, but it's very important to play it again because we as a nation, but also as a state, are facing some very critical challenges, and a lot of it has to deal with the political process. And, you know, we've spent the last 2 years talking about Northern Pass and some other energy items that have popped up on our radar screen, and there's a lot more that will be coming down the pike. And this week is when legislators are filing their legislation, and yesterday I told you that Friday is the deadline for new legislation. And I was on the phone with State Representative Larry Rappaport, who will be putting in some legislation, and we'll be talking with him on Monday about the things that he has filed and what a number of other people have been co-sponsoring, such as burying transmission lines and the like, and to deal with coming up with a comprehensive energy strategy for New Hampshire so that we don't continue to be run roughshod by entities like Northern Pass and now windmill developers. Just ask the folks in Alexandria, Danbury, and Grafton. And we certainly know the windmill project that has defiled the views on Newfound Lake. So anyway, we talk not so much about the merits of the energy projects, but mostly about the political process. And that is something that a lot of you have increasingly become aware on your own, even though I've been talking about it for a couple of years now. But the process, we know, for those of you longtime listeners of the show, knows that it stinks. And for those who are now becoming aware of it through things that may be coming through your community, you're quickly finding out that you, the individual, don't have that much of a voice. Well, let's talk about it right now here on Bulldog Live. Our phone number is 1-866-823-1077, brian@briantilton.com. I've brought in a guest today, no stranger to this show, John Babiarz of Grafton. He's been doing a lot of research on these kinds of related issues, and one of the things that will probably come up again in this legislative session, and how far it'll go, we don't know, but a regional greenhouse gas initiative, as you just heard in that audio I played for you, we do not believe in the free market system, so we just go ahead and create false ones. Well, John, good morning. Welcome back to the program.
Good morning, Brian.
Okay, so there's a lot to tell. I know that, right?
There is, Brian, and I've asked for an hour, and the reason for that is you can't do this in a segment. Because it's a big tapestry, and it's been woven over decades. Well, I'm gonna unravel it, and I'm gonna take it piece by piece, so everybody understands where they're coming from, how they're doing to this. The end game is control, and the control of our liberties will be gone. We won't have them anymore. It's all about sovereignty. It's about the American way. It's about our fundamental principles. And if we don't get this right, if we don't assert our control, it'll be gone forever. That once in a 5,000-year leap will be gone. Innovation, technological advancement, gone. Even today, we see the sciences are no longer science, which is the truth, search of the truth. We see it become political. When somebody tells you the science is settled, they are a charlatan, a liar. Because the science is never settled. The science is a continuing search for the truth. You have theories. The theories last for decades or hundreds of years, and then they're overturned because new evidence, because of continuing searching for the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I am going to go step by step and how this happened. It'll take a few minutes setup, but I want an important disclaimer.
Sure.
What I'm about to say may sound to the casual listener, observer, of my actions as being anti-freedom, anti-libertarian. I can assure you, if you get to the root of the matter, there is nobody more free market than myself. Nobody that respects liberty than myself. You have to understand where I'm coming from and why. First of all, we don't have a free market. It is fixed. It is let's say, manipulated. Okay, if we had a true free market, we wouldn't be doing wind. We wouldn't be doing solar. Because they're not sustainable. They're not consistent. They're not constant. And I'll get into the definitions of that. My background is engineering. I have designed computer chips, software programs, hardware, software, every factory automation process you can think of. I've done financial stuff. I've been in various different fields. Mm-hmm. My discipline is engineering. I do medicine also, but I look at things as a scientist, researcher, and things like that. I am also passionate about our form of government that's described in the Constitution. And that's what's currently running.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's get to the basics. All right. First of all, our government was founded on three layers: the local, the state, and federal. Each had a specific role. Each was defined in their respective constitutions. The federal government is a creation of the states. The state government is a creation of the people. The full sovereignty is in the people. Now, if you wanted to break up the United States, you want to disregard its constitution. You want to blur the lines between a distinctive level of government. Well, if you blur the line between federal and state, well, you still have your local government where people are held accountable. But if you want to break apart the state government, if you want to weaken the power of the state government, pervert the federal government, what would you do? You regionalize it. You cross boundaries so that the state no longer has full control. It's out of their power because they signed this regional agreement. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, who is behind breaking up our regional, or I should say state and federal layers, the regional government? Well, it's people that want to see people in control. And who's that? The United Nations with the Agenda 21. They want this regionalized stuff because when it's regionalized, they're not responsible. Remember, the United Nations, we don't elect anybody there. They want a global carbon tax. I've been railing against the UN for two decades now. I've tried to have a UN free zone, and I told people they'd be taxing your firewood. I was laughed at. But now we have the carbon tax. What do you think firewood gives off when it's burned?
Right.
We in New Hampshire are going to pay a UN global carbon tax that will take the money of our pockets and send it to some overseas entity to prop up some dictator somewhere that is against our values. Is that American? No. Mm-hmm. So let's go and see who the actors are here on this.
Now, you're talking about Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So,
which is set up. New Hampshire is a participator in it, along with nine other states, I believe.
Yes. Okay. One would think our region would be New England. Yet Maryland is part of our Regional Gas House Initiative. Isn't mm-hmm. that strange?
Yeah.
Okay.
And New Jersey.
And New Jersey. But, okay. Let's just take New Hampshire, a unique place we live here. Mm-hmm. I love the place. We have all these windmills going up, and we're going to have Northern Pass. We really need that, don't we?
Not if I can help it.
Well, let me tell you something. The game is rigged.
Well, I know that.
Okay, let me tell you how it's rigged. And then I'm going to tell you who passed these bills.
Okay.
And I'm going to name names. And I say, here I am, come and get me. But the facts is I have the documents in my hands. They're on the state and federal government website, and I will turn them over to Brian, and he can post the links on his website and get the data, and you can all look at it and look for the answers yourself. I will tell you what the truth and where the source is, but the other thing is I will tell you what I've heard in the background, okay? And when I get to those, I will tell you that I've heard it so that you can distinguish what I say is the truth and what I've heard, and then you try to find that piece. I've tried to find all the pieces, but here we go. Regional Gas House Initiative. If you think it's a recent phenomenon, you're mistaken. Remember that intro segment you have? If mm-hmm. you were going to control the people of the United States, you want to make cheap energy expensive.
Yep.
Most expensive forms of energy, solar, wind,
mm-hmm.
in more ways than you can imagine. The environmental impact of both these, manufacturing-wise, installation-wise, is extensive, long-term harmful ability. The solar panels, building those, uses a lot of poisonous, toxic chemicals. A lot of them are now made in China, but I guess we here don't care about China. Well, let me tell you something.
No, because we owe them a few bucks.
Well, let me tell you something. The smog that's in China disperses and eventually lands up the United States. So that's one thing. The other thing is wind. Oh, it's nice, clean, green energy. It's just the wind. But you know what? You have to start blasting mountainsides to put these foundations in. Mm-hmm. You have rubble that now, with all the nitrates and all that weathered rock, is now being blown open, exposed, aquifers go and get contaminated, polluted. But let's not talk
ask
about
the
it.
People around that Lowell wind project in Vermont.
Okay. So how does this all work? Wind cannot stand on economically on its own, so it has to be, quote, subsidized. Mm-hmm. We see in the solar industry, they're subsidized at the manufacturing level. Well, wind is subsidized at the installation level. Okay. And because it's done that way, how do companies get where they are? How did they get the laws get into place? Well, there's lobbying going around, so you have to follow the money. Which major party has been pushing these, quote, green energies?
Let me take one guess. The Democrats.
Okay. You say the Democrats, and that is true. But the Republicans are not without sin. If I had a rock here, you bring him here, I will throw the first stone because I have no sin. All right. So we know that money had to play in the background. And, of course, what happens is the high rollers in these political parties get the money. Mm-hmm. The minions down at the bottom, and this is where it gets interesting, they will follow what their orders are. All right. In New Hampshire in 2008, who was the party in power?
Democrats.
Every branch, every which
That's
way.
That's right. They controlled everything.
Everything. And so they have the Regional Gas House Initiative. Okay. House Bill 1434. And you could go to the www. General Court, State of New Hampshire, Legislation 2008, HB 1434. Just to remind people, we have the Northern Pass Project. There were three people running for governor. You had two would say, well, it depends what comes out. And you had one said, no way that we don't need it. And that was myself. Mm-hmm. And I said, base this on gut feel and facts. Now we're going to go through the facts.
And now two Northern Pass operatives are part of Maggie Hassan's transition team.
But first of all, let's say, how did this Regional Gas House Initiative pass? Who were the players?
Okay.
Well, let's see. Sponsors.
You name those names and I'll have to take a break.
The sponsors are, we won't worry about the state reps, but let's the senators. Senator Hassan, Senator Fuller Clark, Senator Bragdon, Senator Odell.
Those last two names were Republicans.
Yes. Isn't that amazing?
Bulldog Live continues here, 1-866-823-1077. John Babiar is joining us from Grafton, whose town is part of that proposed windmill project that would cover Danbury, Alexandria, and Grafton. And we'll tell you about this whole process and how we got to where we are today right here on Bulldog Live on the Pulse.